So Father, tonight, we thank you for your son, Jesus. Because he is the answer. He's the answer to every question. He's the answer to every problem. He is the answer to every circumstance. And so Father, we thank you for loving us enough to send us your only son. For loving us enough to send us the solution, to send us the pathway to where we can spend this time with you. God, we just pray, Lord, that as we continue through the night, Lord, that your words continually speak through us, to speak to us, Father. Lord, we just pray that the ground that is before us is good ground, and that the seed that goes in bears fruit into your kingdom, God. We thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is good, amen. You can have your seats. Can we give it up for our worship team? It may be slightly self-serving to say give it up for our worship team, since I am the worship leader, but they did a great job. I want to thank Pastor Mrs. Hagen and Pastor Denise for giving me this opportunity. You have to know, like, if you're a student, then, like, you're ready, right? I promise to be nice today. It's Wednesday, so Wednesday, pastor's always a lot nicer on Wednesday than he is on Sunday. So I'm going to be nicer tonight. But I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And as you're going there, I kind of want to present something to you. If you were in Synergy last night, then what you're really getting is really the second half of what we talked about last night. And so you're kind of getting, but I want to set everybody up the same way I set Synergy up last night. And how many of you have a GPS system? Raise your hand. You've got GPS. And so I don't know if you remember back in the day, you guys use MapQuest. Anybody use? Come on, I'm not the only one who used MapQuest, right? So MapQuest. Now I'm not saying this because I'm a guy and I think I'm really good at directions, but I'm actually really good at directions. My wife will co-sign that. But so for me, when it comes to directions, I want to know everywhere I'm going before I get there. So with the MapQuest, I used to take the map, have it all out, look at every place that I need to go, print it, put it on the dashboard, and then off we go. And so then, you know, you have it in your mind, the couple of places that you're going to stop, but just in case you forgot, you could just grab your piece of paper, look, and navigate on. And so I never forget the first time my wife actually started using GPS on her phone. And I kind of got offended a little bit, you know, like, well, you don't think I know where I'm going? And so as the GPS lady, I was like, turn her down. I don't want to hear anything she has to say. I know where I'm going. And so what's funny is we named her Frida, is what we named her. He was like, turn Frida down. We don't want to hear anything Frida has to say. But as time has gone, our trips have changed. Our trip has changed to where there's no more MapQuest. I'm not printing off anything. And now Chris is the official navigator of wherever we go. So now we get in the car, and if we don't know where we're going, she puts in the GPS, and she tells me where we're going. And it's a great system because the phone is still up, but my wife is ahead of the phone. So just in case I didn't get it the first time, I get it twice. Like, you know, turn left on Kenosha, and then in a quarter of a mile, turn left on Kenosha. I get that from her and then the phone. And so it's progressed quite well now, because now your GPS can tell you when there are things in the middle of the road. And the reason why I tell you this story about GPS, because I liken it to how we have to navigate through this time. A lot of us remember what it was like, and remember what it was like when we read our word and we knew where God told us where to go. And we've got all the directions laid out, God. We know exactly where we need to go. And what we need is to be able to hear what God is saying to us to help us navigate through construction. You know, name pandemic. See, there's a way for us presently at this time for God to help us navigate through whatever is happening all around us. And I don't know if you've checked lately, but there's a lot happening around us. And what we have to know as Christians is how to navigate through that. And what God is doing is he's there. He's Frida. Somebody's going to go home. What'd you learn from church tonight? God is Frida. But you're going to find out that God is there and he's helping you navigate through no matter what the circumstances are, what the situations are. He's talking to us to help get us on the right track, down the right path, around the thing, beyond the traffic, and to help us get to the fastest path it takes to get from point A to point B. And then what's so awesome about God is that when we turn, he reroutes us, right? Like, it's so awesome that I make the wrong turn and rerouting, and God is there. And so I say that because I feel like there's an opportunity for us as Christians. It's so easy for us to get wrapped up in what the world is talking about now and not know how to navigate through it properly. And so tonight, I just want to give you one piece I feel that helps us navigate through this world, through the world that we live in right now. And it starts at Matthew chapter 6. At Matthew chapter 6, and I want to go to verse 19. It says, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures in earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven that neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." There's several things in the scripture that we want to point out. The first thing is the idea of treasures. You know that so often there are things that when you say treasures, you have to know what's valuable to you. When we look at the word treasures, we think of money, we think of possessions, but there are things that are valuable to us that aren't necessarily monetary. There are ideas, there's ideologies out there, there are some things that we find value. There are places where we negotiate how we do what we do based off of what value we put on some idea that we have. So therefore, when we say treasures, it basically means what's valuable to you. Now, I could tell you, if I asked, everybody in here, you know, who loves the NBA, raise your hand. You know, and everyone, don't raise your hand, because there's probably not very many of you. So, who loves? So people will raise their hand. And if I said, well, I've got two tickets to courtside to the NBA finals, that you can set courtside, and you just have to find a way to get the Phoenix. By the way, the game is tomorrow, 8:00. There's probably a lot of you who are like, good luck, give those tickets to somebody who cares. But there's somebody in here who's like, I got a car and I got time to get there. The 16-hour trip, let's do it. And they would hop on and they would take those tickets and they would go and we would watch the television and we would see you sitting courtside. Man, that's that person who got those tickets last night. But if I told you that in order to get those tickets, it would cost you $13,511. Well, there's a lot of you who would be like, I don't even want you to raise your hand if you said yes. If you can raise your hand, I hope you put some money in the offering today, okay? Because then the value of the game matters is compared to the cost of what it takes to do it. So then the value changes. Now how much I want to set courtside doesn't mean as much when it's going to cost me. I don't care about either one of these teams. I don't even care who wins. It looks great on my television right now. It's free. So often we have different things that shift our values. It shifts our values based on how much it may cost us. It shifts our values on how much we have to put into it. My friend Dave Fleming came to me years ago, and he came to me, and it was a Saturday morning, and he said, he goes, "Hey," he goes, "man, I've got tickets to go to the OU championship game. Do you want to go? Now, it's OU versus Missouri. I don't care about either one of those teams. But it's a college football game. The tickets are free. I'm not driving to San Antonio because that's where we were going. Yes, it's a college football game. Let's go. We go. We hop in the car Saturday morning. We drive all the way to San Antonio. We go in and we see the game. I learned a lot about OU fans that day. I just want you to know. We can't talk about it. We don't have enough time. Then we left, and the one thing that maybe I might have forgot to mention to you all is that the next morning I had to be here and I had to do worship. So if you can imagine a four-hour football game that goes on and then you leave and you hop in the car and you drive all the way back here for me to get out of the car to go get ready so that I could come here and be on stage. That game wasn't that valuable to me as much as the friendship, the fun, hanging out with my friend, and the fact that I could take a nap right after church. But if I had to pay for those tickets, well, I might not have done it. The value would have changed according to the price that I paid. If you want to understand this, and this becomes so important to us, where's the value that you have in God? Come on, think about this. The value that you have in God, God sent his only son to die on the cross for you so that you could have free access to him. He saw you as valuable, that he gave up something so that he could get you. So then that should determine where we place our values. Now, the other thing that we see in this scripture is it qualifies values in two places. It tells me that there's a place where there's moth and rust that destroys things and thieves steal things. And there's a place where moth and rust can't touch it and thieves don't touch the things that I have. One of those places is earth and the other one of those places is heaven. So not only do I have to determine what I value, but I have to determine where's the resting place of my value. Because if I value something so much more that's on earth, guess what it's eventually going to do? It's going to pass away. I like to call it temporary and eternal. That when I value the things that are on earth, everything that we value, a lot of the things that we value here that are from, that are generated from this place, they're not going to be here. Can I give you one? Can I poke fun at you a little bit here? Democrat or Republican is not in heaven. It's not eternal. It's temporary. So when I place my value on Democrat or Republican, I'm putting my value on something that obviously some people believe can be stolen. You see what I did there, right? And will somehow, some way, possibly be destroyed. But it won't make it all the way through. So then I have to determine that when I engage that this is my high value and this is where my treasure is, that eventually that treasure will eventually pass away. And what I have to determine within myself is whether or not I want to put my treasure into something that's eternal. And I have a great example of that. If you go to 1 Kings chapter 3. And just to kind of get you caught up here of what's happening here, in 1 Kings chapter 3, this is Solomon, and Solomon has just become king. He's officially king. And now there's two kings before him. There was King Saul, and he did a good enough job to get his kingdom taken away from him. And then he took his kingdom away from him, and he gave that kingdom to David. Now, David, up until this point, is the greatest king that Israel has ever seen. That doesn't matter. There's only been two, so it's not necessarily a big deal. But if you actually continue to go through all the lives of the king, you will find that David was actually the standard bearer for every king. David's relationship with God became the standard by which every king was judged by. So now here Solomon is, and it's his moment. And you know, he's young. He's just been given the entire kingdom of Israel. And here's what's crazy. He has older brothers. They should have been getting it, but instead it's coming to him. And at this moment, he doesn't know what to do. And so that's when we go to verse 4. And in verse 4, it says, "Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. For there was great high places, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and said, 'Ask, what shall I give you?'" Can you imagine? Come on, can you imagine if tonight you went to bed and as you went to sleep, God appeared to you in a dream and said, "Okay, so what do you want?" Let me just say, at that moment, what you value matters. Where your treasure is matters. And Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth and righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne. As it is this day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, and I am a little child. I do not know how to go out and to come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, in whom you have chosen a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" And so Solomon, at this moment, when God said, "Hey, what do you want?" He said, "Give me the wisdom it takes to do the job you gave me to do." Of all the things he could have asked for, of all the things that he could have attained, he just asked for wisdom to do the job that God had given him to do. This is what I love. I love this part. It says, "The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, 'Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life for yourself, have not asked for riches for yourself or asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart so there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And after I have given you what you have asked for, I will give you what you have not, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among all the kings all of your days. So if you walk in my ways, you keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, I will lengthen your days." And so the powerful thing at this moment is that Solomon saw something that he wanted that was valuable. The first thing that he saw, and this is very important, this is the part that I need you to grab hold of. He saw the call of God as valuable. You have to understand, no matter what you do in your life, no matter where you are, whether you feel that you're called to a big ministry or whether you're going to work every day, no matter what it is that you do, there is a calling that is on your life. And if there's one thing that is very valuable to God, it's people. So every day, guess what you do? You pass the treasures of God every day. Every day. Things that are valuable to God. You drive by them in your car. You talk to them in the drive-thru at McDonald's. You, no matter where you go, you see the treasures of God everywhere. And so the first thing that you have to do to determine where your value is or what it is that you really want to grab a hold of, the first thing you have to do is determine that you're going to follow the call. And let me tell you something, no matter who you are, or what you do, there's one call that we all have. And that is to go to all the what? World. So he's given us this call. So the first thing that Solomon did is he saw the call. The call meant so much to him. Then he reached and he asked for something that wasn't temporary. And here's a great idea to understand that he asked for something that wasn't temporary, because the idea is that he could have gone to the high priest and said, hey man, can you give me some wisdom? He could have gone to the prophet of the day and said, hey, can you give me some wisdom? He could have gone to the wisest man of his time and said, can you give me some wisdom? But he went to the place where wisdom was infinite and never ending and could last throughout time. He went to a place where wisdom was internal, and he said, God, can you give me some wisdom? And so what he found treasure in something that was eternal. He found treasure in something that was lasting. So now when we go back to Matthew chapter 6 and we go to that last verse, and it tells you that where your treasure is, there your heart will be too. See, the reality of being able to navigate through all this noise that we hear on the television, through the social media outlets, through all the things that we hear, how do I navigate through that? Well, what's valuable to me? Because whatever's happening, it's most likely temporary. I give you a great example. I hope this is a great example. So last year, and I know this is, I don't want to make light of this because I know that this experience isn't the same for everybody. But last year, I got COVID. And I probably went to the place who took the longest to give test results. I don't know. I just chose the place that took too long. And so I'm in a room, and this is the torture of the moment. I am in a room, I'm locked in a room, I'm by myself in a room. My family is outside the room. My son, who at that time was just about to be 2 years old, didn't know that I was in the room, because if he knew I was in the room, he would want to come in. But I could hear everything that's happening. There's torture to hear your kid on the other side of the door and just want to get to your kid and you can't. So I'm sitting in this room and I'm waiting, and my emotion, because what I've caught is I'm caught up in this emotion of Corona, because that was the emotion of the moment, right? And the emotion of it, the value that I put on it, and so there were so many emotional roller coasters sitting in that room. Just like, oh, I know I don't have it. Oh, I'm going to be fine. Oh, and you know, I feel great. And I'm battling all these emotions instead of navigating with the one thing that I know, and that's the protection of God that he has on my life. But because I was wrapped up into this thing that was temporary, into this moment that seemed to be the thing that everybody was paying attention to at the time, it gauged, and my value was wrapped up into this thing that in a week and a half was gone. Then in a week and a half, that too passed. In a week and a half, God got me through that too. So the eternal thing I should have been hanging on should have been the protection of God. And here's the reality, and I don't mean to be unsensitive to this, but if I didn't make it, I went to heaven. So, like, it's good either way. So then if I can take the moment and focus on eternity instead of the emotion of the moment, and to then, after a week of waiting, to find out, oh, you got it. Well, by then, I was settled in. I'm like, I got this thing, so let's just ride this thing out. And then to get out on the other side of it, and to know that on the other side of this, God still had his hand on him. God still protected me. And that's the value that I had to place. As long as my heart was wrapped up into the temporary idea of what Corona brought to me, my emotions were uncontrolled. The minute that I was able to take and attach myself to the the eternal protection of God and who God is. It changed my outlook. That becomes important. That becomes important when we're dealing with different issues. It becomes important when we're dealing with government issues. It becomes very important when we're dealing with racism. Everybody wants a temporary, they want to gain the temporary solution to try to fix this. But guess what? The solution is temporary too. And it's going to pass away. Or do I find the thing that's eternal? Can I tell you what's eternal? Love is eternal. Love allows me to love a person regardless of who you are. Love allows me to love a person regardless of how you look and where you're from. And when I can attach my solution to something that's internal, when I can value something that's eternal, then it allows me to navigate correctly instead of holding on to this thing that matters, whether it does or whether it doesn't. To hang on to what's eternal. And so it becomes so important for us that as we navigate through all the things that are happening, we're going to hear. You're going to hear more. You know, God knew this was going to happen. I don't know if you realize this, but God knew this was going to happen. He told us, I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, that in the last days, there will be perilous times. He didn't say that yesterday. That was thousands of years ago that he inspired Paul to say that in a letter to Timothy. So guess what? God knew these days were coming. Who better to navigate us through these days? I want to read one last scripture real quick. I want to go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10, verse 3. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Because very important for us to understand that if we're going to fight this war that we're supposed to fight and grab the treasures that God has called us to grab, he's called us to grab the treasures of people, that we can't fight this war with those weapons. It likens you to the story of David going out to fight Goliath, you know, and Saul put his uniform on, and David's like, I can't fight with these things. I need to fight with what I know what to fight with. And that's what we have to do as Christians, is we have to stand with what God has given us to stand with. Now, before I finish, because I'm actually done, I have to go back. I have to go back to something real quick. Because I love the Old Testament because it shows the character of God. I love seeing the character of God. And I want to, and as we close, we're gonna close this up really quickly, but I just want to end with this. For us to understand what the true character of God is. Because if you notice that Solomon asked for something, and there were three things he didn't ask for, and that the God, that our God, within the character of who he is, didn't say, okay, well, this is what you asked for, and this is only what I'm gonna give you. That within the character of God, within his character, we say we serve a God of more that's more than enough. Then what did he do? He gave him the wisdom that he asked for. But then guess what he did? He gave him a long life. He gave him a peace from his enemies. And he also gave him riches. The things he could have asked for. So often we put God in this box like he's Santa Claus or like he's a magic spell. As if he doesn't understand and as if he doesn't want to give us more than what we could ever ask or think. And here's a perfect example of who God is, that he loved Solomon so much that I'm going to not just give you what you asked for, I'm going to give you the things you didn't ask for. to understand that that's the God that we serve. We serve a God who's not, he's not playing tricks on us. He's not, you say, well, God, give me all the money in the world. And he brings this big, huge safe and puts it in your front yard. And you're like, well, how do I get in that safe? He goes, well, you asked for the money in the world. You didn't ask for access to the money of the world. But we put God in that, this pigeon hole, this box that he doesn't understand what, not only just what we need, but what we want. And that he can give us more than what we've asked for. And when that's the God I serve, when that's the God, that's the character of the God I serve, that's the character of the God I know. And that makes it easy for me to make him my treasure. Because when I make him my treasure, then that's where my heart is. Amen. So, Father, we just thank you for showing us. Showing us continually, God, who you are. God, we just pray, Lord, that you continue to help us navigate through this world. You continue to help us navigate through all the extra noise of all the things that are happening around us. But that, God, you show us how to walk, how to speak, and most importantly, God, how to touch those treasures that are around us. If you're in here tonight and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and I don't want to leave here without giving you the opportunity to talk about the greatness of who God is, without giving you the opportunity to say, hey, here's a place where I could change my life. Here's a place where I could do something different. Here's a place where I could step into the fullness of who I am, because God, before he ever made me, knew the fullness of who I could be. And he sent his son way before that so that I could have a moment to be with him. And so if you're in here tonight, and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we're going to give you that opportunity. We're going to look around the room and just raise your hand. I just want to look around the room. If that's you, just raise your hand in this place and say, you know what? I need Jesus. Just going to look over the crowd one more time. Father, you see every person in this place. And so if there's somebody in this room who needs you, God, we just ask that you just continually show them your love and continually give them every opportunity to come to know you, Father. We just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.